Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back with you.
It sure is. We've been moving through the season of Advent.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's only a little bit, what is it, about 10 days now till Christmas?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's getting close.
It's unbelievable how fast time goes.
It does.
And how fast this past week has gone.
Yeah.
We were just here.
And before you know it, we're going to be done with the show.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then we'll be saying, I can't believe it's 2014. Because that's coming up quick. And as we've been going through the season of Advent, we've been doing a lot of teachings from the book of Isaiah.
Major prophets.
My favorite major prophet. Although Jeremiah's
good. Chapters going to be a major prophet?
Yeah. I'm not sure what the criteria were, but you couldn't just write like three and just say you were a major. No.
Okay. We won't go down that road.
No. Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, man, they just cranked them out. Daniel, I mean, they were cranking out chapters.
One after another.
Anyway.
God was just downloading the stuff right to him.
That's right. And Isaiah is awesome because, of course, along with prophecies about the birth of the Messiah, prophecies about the life of the Messiah, prophecies about the death of the Messiah, my personal favorites and the ones that I think are really awesome are the fact that he has so many verses that say, hey, the Gentiles are coming too.
Yes.
And even though those pesky Pharisees probably didn't like that, Isaiah was all over that.
Not much at all.
No. And when you call them brood of vipers, they don't like that one bit.
They kind of ruffled their feathers yeah, a little bit. They weren't too fond of that term.
Yeah, we'll get to John the Baptist again later. But
it really wasn't a term of endearment.
No, it sure wasn't. So, Isaiah, we just did this show last week, and please go to giftofgraceministries.org and listen to it again, because really the sort of summary of it was that Isaiah and then Paul in Romans and then the first part of third chapter of Matthew really tie together the prophecies of Messiah with the prophet, with the promise made to Abraham that all the people of the earth would be blessed through him.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, is through Jesus the Messiah. And now we have another reading from Isaiah's book. This time we're in chapter 35. See, now most of your minor prophets don't have a chapter 35. In fact, none of them do. Sorry, guys. But
oh, boy.
Stephen, let's have Stephen read. Okay. Actually, it's kind of a short chapter.
Yes, it is.
Why don't you just read the whole chapter? It's only 10 verses.
Okay. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steep will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing. Crowned with everlasting joy, they will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee.
Ooh. That's awesome. So here we go. First, he's talking about deserts. Now, keeping in mind what I just said a few minutes ago about Isaiah, the desert can be a symbol for a lot of things, you know, our life is a desert. Streams go through the desert. The Bible's always talking about deserts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the deserts are going to bloom. And these are also messianic prophecies because sin is going to be dealt with. Darkness is going to be dealt with. And fruit's going to come out from those things. But the desert, too, is a place, you know, the desert's a place where there's not really a lot of life. I mean, there is life, but there's not life that we kind of like to see. You know, there's scorpions and snakes and like disgusting things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's no fruit there, certainly.
Right.
And at this time, when Isaiah's preaching, when Isaiah's writing, and he's talking about prophecies to the Gentile nations, the Gentiles can also were a desert. Our ancestors were a desert. You know, our ancestors, I mean, those of us that are Gentiles, and I'm sure most of you listening are Gentiles, but if you're a Jewish believer, that's awesome. Send us an email. But, you know, the Gentile nations were deserts. They weren't producing fruit. There was no life of God. They were pagan worshipers. Mm-hmm. But then when they receive the gospel, they bloom and there's fruit. And there's abundant fruit and there's joy. And, you know, in Acts chapter 8, Luke writes that Samaria accepted the gospel with great joy. Yeah. And they saw the glory of the Lord. Because when they see the Jewish Messiah, and again, it's so cool that the Gentile nations are going to accept the Jewish Messiah. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here. And that's why we're doing this show. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're preparing for his birth. And while you're decorating your house and doing all the stuff and running around, making yourself crazy, doing Christmas shopping, think about this is the birth of the Messiah and that you as a Gentile now can come into the kingdom because of this.
Exactly.
This is really, really good news. The gospel is really, really good news.
It's really good news.
Yeah. And, you know, they saw the glory of the Lord, which they certainly didn't deserve and they certainly didn't know about ahead of time.
That's right. And, you know, this place, this wilderness, this desert, what I missed on this reading, actually, because I was reading from another source, was the burning sands will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water. Mm-hmm. The abode where jackals crouch will be a marsh for reeds and papyrus.
Yeah.
A highway will be there called the Holy Way, mm-hmm. and no one unclean will pass over it, but it will be for his people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray on it.
Yep.
No lion shall be there, nor any beast of prey approach, nor be found, but there the redeemed shall walk.
Woo.
And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and enter Zion singing. So this place, this desert that's going to be transformed
mm-hmm.
into this highway for the Lord, if you will.
Yeah.
And that not even fools will be able to go astray on it.
That's right.
That probably includes most of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we can't be so proud to think that, oh, well, God wouldn't choose somebody who's foolish. You know, it's like, I've done a lot of foolish things in my life before I knew the Lord. And yet he still sought me. He still found me and he still called me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what God does with each one of us. He offers us the gift of salvation.
Yeah. You know, just before we came here to do the show, I was witnessing to a woman who I think thought I was a little bit crazy, but I was kind of like doing the thing and she wanted to know, how did I get so involved with all this stuff? And why can't I just be normal? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I hate being normal, but normal is very boring.
Normal is
but anyway, yeah. So as I told her kind of the highlights of my conversion testimony, which, you know, maybe someday we'll do, she ended the whole thing, I thought very profoundly, by saying, well, why would you think God would pick you to do anything? And I'd say, wow, well, that's a very good question. And then I proceeded to tell her exactly what you just said, like who deserves to be serving him? Who deserves to be doing the things? Who deserves to be, you know, like Paul said when we did the series about the ambassadors, you know, who are we qualified to be ambassadors for Christ? No.
No, not.
But we're willing to do it. We say, send me, I'll do it. He mm-hmm. equips us to do it. The Spirit sends us.
Yep.
And as long as we're available and we're willing to do the job and to be used, we'll be used to do the job.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's God's spirit that dwells within us, and it's God's spirit that moves through us to impel us, that he impels us to do those things.
Yes.
And, you know, we were talking about this last week, just briefly, like about the gift of forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and how if we ask Christ into our hearts, he comes in fullness.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only ones that block the fullness of God.
That's right.
God doesn't block his blessings.
Yes.
But I as an individual can block the blessings of God if I persist in a sin habit, or if I persist in a manner of behavior
mm-hmm.
that is not according to the Spirit.
Yes.
And so I'm the one who blocks the grace and the gifts of God. God doesn't withhold them.
That's right.
Because God gives immeasurably more than we can even imagine.
That's right.
Yeah.
And imagine how many people are being called but don't realize they're being called because mm-hmm. they're not listening.
You know, I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying, you know, they were praying to God and asking him for help, and you know, they've been out of work for a little bit, and somebody offered to pay them to drive one of their friends back and forth to their mom's house because their mom was this other person's mom was in the hospital and needed mm-hmm. some attention. And the person goes, well, that's okay. You know, I like this person anyway. I'll just drive them. Well, I said, I think God was going to bless you with that. And I think you just refused it, you know, because they didn't have any money coming in to really take care of or pay for the transportation mm-hmm. that they were offering to provide. And they thought about that for a second. They go, I didn't see it like that. Because they were thinking that God would provide in a bigger way.
Yeah.
You know? And so we have to be able to just take even the littlest things, the littlest blessing that somebody wants to give us
mm-hmm.
and accept it willingly with a grateful heart
mm-hmm.
and just say, you know, thank you. Mm-hmm. I can use that.
Yeah.
And in that way, if God is actually using that person to give you a blessing
mm-hmm.
or if God's using that person, you know, to pay you to do something,
mm-hmm.
God's providing for you.
That's right.
And it's not always in the way that we see it. But
yeah.
if we're not used to how God operates and we don't see these things, we can very easily miss them
mm-hmm.
and just pass them over and then go, oh, you know, I've been praying and gosh, God still hasn't answered my prayer.
Yeah.
Well, he just did, but you just said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, back to the drawing board.
Yeah. I learned a lesson on that once when I was on a mission in Mexico with a good friend of mine and we stayed with a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked the woman, we were doing a mission at a church, and I asked the woman if she had an ironing board and an iron because I needed to iron a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, I'll iron your shirt. And I said, oh, no. I said, just get me the ironing board and the iron. I'll happy. She goes, oh, no, I want to iron your shirt. I go, no. Listen, I'll just iron my shirt. And she goes, no. So my friend took me aside and go, you know, she wants to iron your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
This is a blessing for her. Would you just let her iron your shirt? I said, all right. You know,
there you go.
And then she was like so happy ironing my shirt. I thought, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. isn't it though that small act of kindness was such a blessing not only to you, but to her.
To her, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing in that passage that you read is in verse 4 where it says, behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Mm. He. So this is a messianic prophecy. God will come and save you. Now, under the law, how were you saved? To keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
Your righteousness is measured by how you're doing with the law.
Right.
All 613 of them, you know, how did you do? Well, not that great. Okay. Now it says God will come and save you. You know, this is like a little hidden messianic prophecy because we understand what that means by Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he will come and save you. And it's, this is why I love Isaiah, it's like so cool. And it says, when you are saved, even in this desert, what are you going to get? You're going to get the glory of Lebanon. Okay, now what's Lebanon known for? They're cedar trees.
Mm-hmm.
Now what is a cedar? It's a huge, beautiful tree. They're stately looking. They're strong. They smell good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this beautiful tree. I mean, if you look at a flag of the country of Lebanon, there's a cedar tree right in the middle of it. Lebanon was known for its cedars.
Right.
Then he talks about Carmel and Sharon. They had grain and they had cattle and they had flowers growing. You know, Carmel is a mountain and Sharon is a area right below it going to the sea. It's known for beautiful flowers. That's where we get the Rose of Sharon, which is another messianic title. And all these things that have to do with beauty and stateliness and plenty and, you know, provision. Mm-hmm. This comes because God comes to save you.
Yeah.
And it says, they'll see the glory of the Lord. So just by coming to the Messiah, you're going to see the glory of the Lord as he manifests himself with this grace and love. It's much different than being in a covenant of law where he comes as a judge and says, let's see how you did with these laws, mister.
Yeah.
Not that great.
You know, if we go to Zechariah chapter 8 in verse 13, it says, just as you became a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you that you may be a blessing.
Mm.
Do not fear. Let your hands be strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Lord comes to save them.
That's right.
And to turn things around and make of them a blessing.
Yes, exactly.
Just as he promised.
And this is why it says, you know, he's going to strengthen weak hands. He's going to make firm feeble knees. He's going to say, be strong. Don't be afraid. And you know that when it talks about, we're going to talk about this more when we get to John the Baptist, about eyes are going to be open. You know, he gives us eyes to see it. I mean, before I was a believer, I went to church and I heard people say stuff and I knew, you know, prayers and I knew some facts, but my eyes weren't open to what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh yeah, this is nice. Okay, now let's go. And, you know, he gives them eyes to see. And the more we see, the more love and grace we get, the more excited we are to serve, the more fruitful we become. Because as we do more things, we're strengthened and we want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on our own strength, we can't really do that much. And we're always afraid. You know, human beings are always afraid. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen when we're driving home tonight, or we don't know what's going to happen to the weather tomorrow, or we don't know what's going to happen in the world, you know, in an hour and a half, but we're always fearful,
right,
as humans. But he says, don't be afraid.
Right.
You know, we have, like Paul says, we have a race set before us. You know, we're supposed to just go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not supposed to be afraid of the race. We're supposed to just fix our eyes on him and do the race.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why he says, when you know the Lord, when you've seen his salvation, don't be afraid.
Right.
Woo.
Rony, Rony.
Wow. Ooh, remember, check awesome out giftofgraceministries.org. I gotta get my banner. We'll be right back. Right.
Let's dance.
Yeah. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Now, I'm still trying to catch my breath here with Steve and I dancing around the studio.
Put your banner down.
Okay.
There you go. Okay.
We got a bunch of banners in the corner here for every time we play Rony Brony. Remember, if you go to WilburMinistries.com, you can buy that song.
If you've never been to a concert with Paul Wilbur when he's played Rony Rony, you have to experience
that's the
it.
Best.
Yes.
So we're strengthened and we're going down the road.
Yeah. And, you know, as we were talking, there's Isaiah chapter 41, if we look in verse 8 through 10, goes along with this passage from Isaiah 35, 4, where it says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and summoned from its far-off places, to whom I have said, you are my servant, I chose you, I have not rejected you. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be anxious, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." You know, the vindication of God.
Yeah.
You know, when God is your recompense and your vindication, you know, God's our vindication. He's going to vindicate us.
Yeah.
He's going to deliver us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to free us.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to fight against God?
That's right.
And win.
That's right. That's right.
No one.
And he's going to come, you know, in that verse 4 there that I just talked about, you know, he's going to come against the powers of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come and save. You know, his name, Yeshua, with Jesus' name in Hebrew, if you haven't caught on with that by now, but his name means salvation.
I remember that from your Torah study course.
See?
Yes.
He got an A. He did very well on the final, as I recall. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, he got credit for the course, but didn't do him that much. Doesn't get anything out of that, but at least he learned the stuff. But yeah, you know, his name, Yeshua, means salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he comes against the powers of darkness. And, you know, these Old Testament saints, as we call them, the prophets, the patriarchs, they looked forward to this. This is why Jesus said to those brood of vipers, you know, Abraham, all those prophets, all those other guys, they wanted to see my time. And when they saw it, they were happy. You know, Abraham longed to see this time. And when he saw it, he was happy. And they said, yeah. What? You're not even 50, you know, Abraham? You know, yeah. Saying, yeah, so that was pretty cool. And, you know, they looked forward to this as the plan unfolded, and they didn't know exactly how it was going to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know. I mean, they read this thing from Isaiah, and it says, okay, God's going to come with recompense, going to save us, but okay. But now, here, we see it. And all these things about eyes opening and ears opening, you know, these are wonders that are going to come when the kingdom comes. There's, you know, signs and wonders. There are healing miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus cured blind people, deaf people, lame could walk. You know, then later, even the apostles, you know, we did a show once about the guy at the Gate Beautiful. That
yeah.
Peter and John, you know, and then
yeah.
The guy became charismatic right at that point, and he's dancing around the temple.
Exactly. And gold and silver I have not, yeah. but I give you in
yeah.
the name of Yeshua.
The
yeah.
dumb could speak. I mean, there was physical healing.
Mm-hmm.
There's always spiritual healing. You know, and it's all done not only for our salvation, but for his glory and praise.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the psalm response for this today is Psalm 146.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at verses 6 through 10, it says, "The Lord God keeps faith forever. He secures justice for the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord," and these are all in capital letters. Mm-hmm. Lord is in capital. "The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations."
Wow.
You know, and it's exactly what Isaiah is prophesying about here.
Yes, exactly.
That God is going to vindicate and raise up those who are yes. who are bowed down and low.
Yes.
You know, the
exactly.
poor.
Exactly. Exactly. And those are messianic prophecies as well, of course. but they're also in the sense of these miracles, these healings are going to happen when Messiah comes.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we're going to get to something with John the Baptist in a minute.
Ah.
And we're not going to talk about his diet.
Our good friend John.
He's probably tired about his diet. But you know, what in Ezekiel 47, too, there's this idea of water and streams going through the desert. And trees and fruits bursting forth from the desert. You know, our lives were a desert land. And even the very faithful people of, you know, the Jews before Jesus that were faithfully trying to follow the Lord and following the law and wanted to do what was right, in comparison to knowing Messiah, they were also living in a desert.
Right.
And now, when they come to Messiah, you know, the prophecy here is that water and streams burst forth in the desert land. Mm-hmm. You know, our lives are desert lands.
Yeah.
And, you know, many of us, all of us have some kind of testimony. Most of us have some kind of testimony that, you know, my life was dry. My life was barren. I didn't know it. I thought I was fine, but I wasn't fine.
Right. And then, I was a mess.
I was a mess. And then when the streams burst forth in the desert, then all of a sudden your life gives fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in verse 10 there, it talks about the ransomed of the Lord. You know, they get joy and gladness. They obtain it. They don't earn it. They don't get it by making sure they're doing okay with the rules, making sure they're doing okay with the law. They get joy and gladness.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go happily to Zion because now they're redeemed.
Yeah. And, you know, the second reading for this Sunday was from James chapter 5, verse 7 to 10. And it says, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You too must be patient. Make your heart firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing before the gates. Take as an example of hardship and patience, brothers and sisters, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord."
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, what happened to all the prophets? Jesus tells them, you know, you stoned them and you killed them.
Yeah. And they said, "Oh, if we were there, we wouldn't have done that.
We would have done that." And Jesus set them straight. Yeah, yeah, you did.
Yeah, yeah. You would have done it too.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have done it too.
And we would have done it too. And, you know, you say that, and it's very true. Because we think like human beings. Mm-hmm. We're no different than Peter at times. You know, Peter thought just like a human being does. They all thought like human beings because that's what we are. And we have a hard time sometimes thinking in the divine nature that is Christ.
Sure.
But yet, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we need to allow that, the Spirit, to enable us to have that union with him, that we can put on the mind of Christ.
Exactly.
That we can understand and know what God's telling us to do and how to persevere in this walk with him.
Yes.
You know, strive to enter through the narrow gate, as we've said in shows past, that this life is one of, we're going to strive to finish the race and we're going to walk to finish the race so that we don't run the race in vain.
Right.
But that we enter through that narrow gate and the Lord welcomes us into the kingdom and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And he doesn't say, "Well, I gave you one talent, you buried it in the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I think we should emphasize, as we're in this Advent season, as we're approaching Christmas, and look around to see what's going on in the stores and the malls and the general public. There's what I call Christmas hysteria. But the things that Stephen just said, the things that we've been talking about here, is what you should be thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes this season. And when it's reduced to happy holidays, look at all the stuff I bought, you've really blown it.
Mm, yeah.
And I think, and I tell people all the time as I witness to them at work, I say, you know, the last thing this country should be doing is celebrating Christmas the way we're doing it.
Right.
We're just digging our hole deeper when the judgment comes.
Yeah.
To not even call it Christmas, to call it holidays.
Yeah.
And to see, to not even consider these things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
As long as we have the food, the presents, the trees, there's nothing wrong with celebrating.
Right.
But what are we celebrating?
Right.
I mean, what are we decorating for? Right.
But Lord, I gave everybody a gift card.
That's right. A gift card.
But you're saying, what are we celebrating? Do we, you know, and we've talked about this before on the show, is that there's people that don't even want to celebrate Christmas because they think it's a pagan holiday, yet they believe in Jesus. And, you know, the church established that there would be a day set aside to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah.
That's right.
And I think you and I both agree that celebrating that in the world is celebrating the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that this is the day that I celebrate as the birth of my Messiah.
That's right. Sure. You know? We don't know exactly when he was born, but okay. That's fine.
Yeah. You know, there's some people that go, but we got to know the exact day.
Yeah. Or else we can't celebrate.
Who knows the exact day?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of speculation as to the exact
day. He certainly wasn't born December 25th.
Right.
Let's do the Matthew reading, because I want to do the poor John the Baptist.
Yes. Before we run out of time.
Let's do me, because time goes on. Let's do, you want to read Matthew 11, 2 to 11?
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert and see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'"
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome. Now remember, John the Baptist was the herald of the king. He was announcing him, was the last prophet. He quoted the last prophecies of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. He looked like Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was one weird looking dude with wild hair and the thing. And oh man. But like we said last week, that when he talks about, you know, the kingdom is at hand, the Greek translation there means it's a startling loud noise.
Yeah.
It says the kingdom's at hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's to awaken you that the kingdom is at hand. We've waited all these centuries for Messiah, and now he's at hand. And in a little while, he's going to say, "There he is."
Yeah.
As Jesus is walking on the other side of the river, he says, "There he is."
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to point out who the Messiah is. And John has this startling voice. And we mentioned last time, his father Zacharias was struck dumb by Gabriel.
Yeah, because he didn't
believe
the message.
And then his son comes, with this loud voice to awaken everybody, to make straight the path. You know, he does the prophecies of Elijah. And, you know, since we know John the Baptist was a Levite because his father was a priest, and only Levites could be priests.
Mm-hmm.
So John was a Levite. Jesus was not a Levite.
Right.
You know, Jesus couldn't have been a priest in the temple, ironically enough.
Mm-hmm.
So here's John as a Levite, but he's not in the temple preaching. He's not in the synagogue preaching. He's out in the wilderness preaching.
Yeah.
Because that's where the people are. People are out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
People are living in a wilderness. Their lives are a wilderness. And you see the people that come to the river are the common people. They say, mm-hmm. "Man, we want to go hear this guy, John."
Yeah.
I mean, he's one weird looking dude, and I don't want to have lunch with him, but man, he's got a powerful message. And they were anticipating Messiah coming.
Mm-hmm.
But then in this reading, look what happens. You know, we always talk about how everybody's a human. You just talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now John's in prison. John the Baptist is in prison. Now imagine what a prison was like in those days.
Yeah.
I mean, it was horrible, mm-hmm. smelly, dirty. I mean, there he is. And he sends some people to Jesus to ask them a question. You know, are you the one or should we look for another one?
Yeah.
He has doubts. After all of this, mm-hmm. after the announcing, the prophesying, the baptizing, you know, putting people in the mikvah bath, we're not going to go into all that, pointing out Jesus,
right?
Jesus saying, you know, he's saying to Jesus, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me.
Right.
I'm not worthy to carry the sandals, unfasten the sandals. He's going to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. Now he says, are you the one? Yeah,
because this is already after John had baptized Jesus. He's
That's
in
right.
prison now.
That's right.
And he's questioned, yeah.
That's right. So now he says, after all that, he says, are you the one? Or do we have to look for another? He has doubts, even after all that he did.
Yeah.
He wanted to know, was this really the Messiah? Is he the coming one? You know, calls him the coming one.
And think about that. I mean, he's the one. Here's John. He sees him across the river and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Yeah. Yes. And that, and in the original language, too, that passage goes back to what's mentioned in Psalm 118, which is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Mm.
Which later, Jesus is going to say to the Pharisees, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
So John's saying, are you the coming one? Are you the one coming in the name of the Lord? Or are we supposed to look for somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of an anguish thing. You know, he's in prison while this is going on. He knew about the types and the shadows. He knew all the prophecies, but he was in prison. You know, he was in a bad situation.
Mm.
You know, and he wanted to be sure, like, is this really the Messiah? You know, now this was the same prophet, John, who John the Baptist in John chapter 1:34, he called Jesus the Son of God. In John 1:29, he called him the Lamb of God. Said he'd baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, John 1:33. Mm-hmm. Then in John 3:34, he says he's sent by God. So, you know, he does all these prophecies, but now he has some doubts. Maybe it's because of his circumstances. Maybe he was thinking Jesus was going to do something, you know, a little different than he thought.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was like, well, he's the Messiah, why am I in prison? Why ain't he coming over here to help me? I mean, we don't know what's going through his mind.
Well, right. I mean, John says, you know, he's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Was John expecting that in his lifetime?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but certainly as you look at the passage here and what transpires in the wording, John is questioning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Because John was chosen by God, mm-hmm. you know, he leapt in the womb of his mother when Mary greeted Elizabeth at the announcement that she was giving birth to, you know, to the Messiah. So John is questioning, and was he thinking as even the apostles thought,
mm-hmm.
Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom?
Yes.
Is this going to, when's it going to happen?
Man, there's doubt.
You know, there's all this anticipation and there's all this expectation for what they think or for what maybe they have planned out in their own mind. And we too do that. We do that as well. We plan out how we think God's going to carry out our lives. And when it doesn't match up with what's happening,
mm-hmm.
we get, there's confusion.
Confused. Yeah.
And we doubt.
Then we tend to focus on our problems. And did I do something wrong? Did I misunderstand something?
Yeah.
Ooh, another break already. This is the last break already.
Coming up on the last break.
Yes. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Thank you. praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the Son. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, even so, even so, Lord Jesus, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. We join our hearts together. We come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, even so, even so, Yeshua, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Oh, that's amazing.
Especially for this time of the year, the season.
I love when he sings that song. I don't like the slow version he does, though. I like that version the best.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really kind of the, you know, the whole spirit of evangelization tied up in that song.
Yeah.
Oof. That's so cool.
All creation cries for the returning of our King.
Exactly.
All creation.
All.
Not just people. Yeah.
That's right.
But all of God's creation. Yeah.
All of the creation was cursed at the fall.
Mm-hmm.
The earth was cursed. All universe is in disorder. Yeah. And Paul says, you know, the creation's groaning for his return.
Like in labor pains.
Yes.
Groaning.
That's right.
Moaning.
That's right.
Yeah.
So here's John the Baptist in prison, you know. And he's in this tough circumstance, and he's got doubts. You know, and when we get in a tough circumstance, we tend to focus on our problems.
Right.
It's like, you know what? I've been doing the teaching, and I've been doing the Bible study, and I've been doing the radio show, and now I got this problem, and I didn't think God would let this happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be. You know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Maybe you're not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, wait a minute. You're not very encouraging.
Stop whining.
Start whining. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, so a couple of John's disciples, you know, John had a lot of disciples.
Yes, he did.
And kind of made the Pharisees mad. They were out there with this weird looking dude. But anyway, the disciples that go to Jesus, you know, Jesus doesn't say to them, okay, guys, let's review. He doesn't do like a road to Emmaus thing.
No.
He doesn't do like a Bible study with them. You know, he doesn't say, look, go back and tell John, Isaiah said this, this, and this. Jeremiah said this, this, and this. Ezekiel said this, this, and this. You know, all these other things from the Torah, I'm going to tell you. Go back and tell him to review all those things. Then he'll know I'm the Messiah. No. Mm-hmm. He tells him, go back and tell John what you're seeing.
Yeah.
The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the dumb are speaking, the lame are dancing and walking.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, go back and tell John the miracles, because Jesus himself refers back to the prophet Isaiah. Because when Isaiah says these things are going to happen in the messianic time, mm-hmm. he says, go back and tell John these things are happening, and he'll figure out this is the messianic time.
And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the poor have the good news preached to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the past, the prophets came and talked with the religious leaders, with the kings,
right,
with the sort of the elite people
mm-hmm.
that dealt with the prophets. Of course, they yeah. killed them all, but the prophets dealt
yeah.
with, you know, with these people. Isaiah didn't go out in the wilderness yeah. and preach. Jeremiah wasn't out in the river. But now we have, he says, good news is being preached to the poor,
yeah,
not to the leaders and the kings. And, you know, and this is prophesied. We don't have a lot of time to get into it, but Zechariah 11:11 and in Psalm 72, which I think we talked a little bit about last week,
mm-hmm.
you know, this good news is going to the simple people, to the poor people. The Pharisees couldn't understand this.
Right.
You know, Isaiah 61 has basically these same prophecies. It's like to the meek. Mm-hmm. These things are going to the meek.
Right.
They're going to have their eyes opened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these poor, simple people weren't educated. They didn't know things like the Pharisees knew. They didn't know things like the intellectual people knew.
Mm-hmm.
But they understood in their heart that this was the Messiah.
Right.
That this the simple, was the gospel.
The simple people,
that these yeah. were the signs and wonders that were coming.
Mm.
And they weren't offended by him.
Right.
You know, he didn't have on robes. He didn't look like a Pharisee. He didn't have all kinds of fancy stuff on.
Right.
He didn't walk around saying, here I am. Look at all my cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they went to him and they knew as his followers that this was the Messiah.
Yeah, wow.
And he says, blessed are they because they're not offended by me. Because remember, he's responsible for the rise and fall of many in Israel.
Mm, yes.
Simeon was going to say.
Right.
Or had already said by this time.
Right.
And, you know, Peter and it talks about how he's going to be a stumbling stone. The Psalms say he's going to be a stumbling stone. He's going to be a rock of offense.
Yeah.
Paul later is going to say the gospel's an offense. So here was the Messiah, an offense to some of the people, because they're going to be the fall of people. That's going to be the fall of the people in Israel. And the common people are going to say, wow, this is the Messiah.
Mm.
They're the rise of the people.
Yeah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, as you were talking before, I was just going to go to Romans chapter 5, where Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access to this grace in which we stand. Mm. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. But not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Wow.
And when you're talking about the afflictions that, you know, I've been doing all this stuff and yeah. God, where are you?
Yeah.
Well, we're tried by, you know, we're tried by fire
mm-hmm.
to enter the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be purified.
Right.
We have to be able to endure and run the race and strive to enter through that narrow gate.
And you're going to see whether you were silver and gold or you were hay and stubble.
Yes. You know, gold purified, all the impurities are burned out of it and it's translucent. It's yeah. not solid like we see it here on earth.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very important for us to understand that as believers, that we are going to undergo times of persecution, times of trial, times of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But if we hold fast and firm to God, we may question, and we may ask the question, God, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at?
Yes.
But if we cry out to him in our heart, Hineni,
mm-hmm.
God says to us, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, I'm right here with you.
Yeah.
I'll protect you. I have you.
Yeah.
And this is what, you know, even John questions, are you the one?
Yeah.
Peter denied Christ 3 times.
Yeah.
And he restores them all.
That's right.
You know,
he restores them all. And look at the response. And, you know, Jesus doesn't say to these guys, You go back and tell John I'm really kind of upset about this. Yeah. First of all, we're related.
Yeah.
Secondly, he's the one who announced all these prophecies about me. Secondly, he's the one who said he's not worthy to carry my shoes.
Right.
He said I was going to baptize in the Holy Spirit, and now he's wondering, am I the one? Now you go back and tell him. No, he says, what did you go out there to see? There's no greater man born of woman than this guy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
No greater man born of woman than John the Baptizer.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, he proclaims what Isaiah said.
Yes.
The deaf are going to hear, yes. the blind are going to see.
But see, Jesus is not focusing on John's doubt.
Right.
He's not focusing on his doubt. He doesn't focus on your doubt. He knows about your doubts.
Yeah.
He knows about your weaknesses. We have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses.
And there's always an invitation to his grace and mercy.
Exactly.
There's always an invitation to his grace and mercy to come and receive him.
Woo!
Amen.
Well, that's a good way to end the show.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that as we continue this season of Advent, that you would continue to open your hearts and prepare that place for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus our Lord. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.